God bless you, saints. God bless you, saints. Happy Wednesday. Happy to be in the house of the Lord once again. Amen, amen. Just midweek services that are needed. Thank God for them. Just that extra lift to get through the week. I'm definitely happy to be here through all trials and tribulations. We're here. So amen for that. I'm going to ask you to rise with me while we sing this song to start service. Amen. Amen. Who am I till you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true? Is it true that you are thinking of me? That you love me? It's amazing. It's amazing. So amazing. I am a friend of, I am a friend of. I am a friend of, he calls me friend. I am a friend of God, I am a friend of, he's my Savior, he calls me friend. One more time, I'm a friend of, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm a friend of God. It's just more than a song. To be chosen means you're special to God. You are a friend. You are chosen. I'm glad to be chosen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Next, we're just going to say a prayer over the service. Ask you to bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for us to be in your presence, Lord, to get a chance, Lord, to just tell you thank you, Lord. Through it all, Lord, you've been with us, Lord, through the mountains and the valleys, Lord. You've been with us through it all, Lord. Lord, you've encouraged us when we were down, Lord God, and you kept us steady, Lord, when our heads were too high. Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that you pray over the service, Lord God. You pray over the saints, Lord, that wish to be here, Lord, but are at home, Lord, that are on the way, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask, Lord Jesus, you just be able to get ourselves out of the way, Lord, and be able to receive the word tonight, Lord God. The songs, Lord, they are just getting us ready and conditioned, Lord, to receive the word, Lord, that you set forth, Lord God. Lord, you require more than a song, Lord God. We just ask, Lord, whatever we present, Lord God, that you receive it, Lord God. Lord, we pray for the minister tonight, Lord. Pray for Brother Jack, Lord, as he bring the word, Lord. Lord, stay with him, Lord God. Just be able to, for him to get himself out of the way, Lord, and be able to deliver not only to our ears, Lord, but to our hearts, Lord, because the words are from you, Jesus. Lord God, pray for the young musicians, Lord, practicing, Lord God. Lord, we are all here, Lord, on one accord, Lord, is to be closer to you, Lord, to hear from you, Lord God. You are a chain breaker, Lord God. You are a way maker, Lord God. Lord God, you are a healer, Lord. Lord, it would take us all night, Lord, to say all of your titles, Lord God, but we thank you for them all, Lord Jesus. You are not three gods, Lord God. You are one true God, Lord Jesus. We are here, Lord God, just to give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray over the service, Lord. Amen. 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 And clap. I'm actually singing this song for me, with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. But wholly trust in Jesus' name, Christ alone, still alone, cornerstone. The weak are made strong in my Savior's love. Through a storm, He is Lord, Lord. When darkness seems, when darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and filthy realm, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak are made strong. Brother Jack, Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, one more time. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak are made strong in my Savior's name. Savior's love.
In my Savior's love, oh, through the storm, He is Lord of all. One more time, oh, Christ alone, You're my cornerstone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer before we go into the word tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege, the opportunity we have to gather in the name of Jesus. We trust, oh God, that as we come tonight, that You would just draw our hearts and our attention to Your word. May we leave here strengthened, encouraged, Lord, inspired by the word that we would hear here tonight. To speak to us, Lord, in our various circumstances and situations. May You get all the glory and all the honor from our gathering. Thank You for this new wave of musicians that You're raising up. God, just believe that You will anoint each one for the purpose and plan that You have for them. We give You praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all. Thank y'all very much. Amen. One day we're going to look back and say from whence we came. Amen. Y'all be seated, amen, for a few minutes. We will do things just tad bit different. We're going to kind of do some of our old style teaching as well as some of our new style. Just as we go on, we're entering into the next chapter here of 1 Samuel. And we'll read through it. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we will just pick up there. As I mentioned to you all, when we first started the church, the objective was to try to get the church an understanding of God's word. We knew the message, we understood that, and but oftentimes I felt that at least where we were, our upbringing, we just didn't have a lot of the word, you know, we really understood the word that connected with the message. So when I first started the church, God started me off with 1 Samuel, and it's a wonderful journey. I got a little ring, it's a wonderful journey, and we're gonna get to some good. Actually, all of it's good to me, but it's all good. But the reason that I kind of went back here is because there's this connection of David in the Book of Psalms that I can't wait to get to, and I'm looking forward to that journey. But until then, we're just gonna enjoy the ride. Yes, amen. So. So just bear with me as we kind of go through this, and what I bring to you are the things that the Lord just impresses upon my heart. Amen. Let's start here in verse 1. It says, and the word the Bible says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it must save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. We've done some reading about these boys, and we know that they're not good stewards of the house of the Lord. It says, and when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp? The Hebrews, and they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. So even the enemy understood the significance of the ark of the Lord being in the camp. Now, I will tell you, Israel did not understand the significance of it. They felt that they could live any kind of way. And then when they got in trouble, they could reach out to the ark of the Lord, right? And God don't work that way. Amen. God don't work that way. So so here the Bible says in verse 7, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there have not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. This is the enemy's testimony. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. And it's good to sometimes stop and think, the devil's more afraid of you than you are of him. The enemy is more afraid of you than you are of them. If you heard what they were saying about you, if you just heard what they were saying about you, Here he come again. Here she come again. Oh, Lord. But the unfortunate thing is that they knew that if Israel was in right standing, they would have been in trouble.
Yes, sir.
But Israel was not in right standing. Just the mere fact that Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are watching over things, we know things are really out of array, right? It's in disarray. So here, verse 9, be strong and quit yourselves like men, or ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. The Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Now, that was a sad thing that happened when the ark of God was actually taken from Israel. The thing that they depended on, the thing that they felt would bring deliverance to them, it was taken from them. And the ark of God was taken, two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And we know that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. We'll get into that when we can. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh on the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there have been also great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And now, what I gather from this, certainly with Eli being a priest, and again, there was prophecy spoke about these things, and you know, we've read it, and we'll go back and touch it again. But first thing kind of comes to my mind is this happened on his watch. And as a leader, there are certain things you just don't want happening on your watch. You just don't want it happening under your watch, right? Whether that's a leader in the church, whether that's a leader in the home, leader on the job, there's certain things you just don't want happening under your watch, right? And you do everything you can to prevent that from happening under your watch. But here, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, this was taken under his watch. And that this was a really, really sad situation. As a priest, they have taken these, not that they stole it, we gave it to them. We went out in battle, and we got whipped, like Brother Smiley say. All right, got whipped in battle, and they done took the Ark of God. How are we going? We can't beat them. They just beat us and took our Ark. Man, this is sad. This is a really sad day for Israel, you know? So it goes and says, 19, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. So the ark is taken, Eli is dead, his two sons are dead, his daughter-in-law is dead, and given at the time of giving birth to a child. I can just tell you like this, it pays to serve God.
Amen.
It also pays when you don't serve God. Right. So verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod. saying the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. So, a lot to unpack in this chapter. And like I said, we're just going to enjoy the journey. As we come out of the gate, verse 3 is where I'm going to spend a lot of time over the next few weeks. And there it says, and when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. And so I just wanted to take a little time and kind of look kind of at this ark of the covenant. We'll use PowerPoint for this, and then I also have a Word document that has the quotes that I'll be using in it as well. And here, just in PowerPoint, as we just kind of start down this journey tonight, just some key statements in this section of learning that we're going to find. And the first one is, hit next, the ark in the Bible always is a type of the word to us. So the ark, or the ark of the covenant, is always a type of the word to us, because it was the word of God that was in the ark. All right, so the ark actually types the word. So underneath the watch of Eli, they would have lost the word. Just think about that. Underneath the most important thing you had. And when we talk about the word was in the ark, we'll hit this a little bit later, but the Ten Commandments that God wrote with his own finger was inside this piece of furniture, and Eli lost it. Generations depended on this. It was lost underneath this man's eye, underneath underneath his son's service in the sanctuary, underneath their reign. The word of God is lost. But the beautiful part about this is, during this time where this thing is being lost, God had a prophet that was coming up underneath all this. And God is always, let me put it this way, God is always a step ahead of the devil. And the word of the Lord comes to the prophets, right? But when we talk about the ark, what we're talking about is the word of the Lord, that is a type of the word to us. And the other thing that we find this next is the word is not in the mind, but it's in the heart. The word is not in the mind. You just can't. I know too many. We know a lot of people can quote the Bible like crazy. They can quote the prophet like crazy, but they can't live worth nothing. Don't be that type of Christian where you just got it in your mind and you just quoting it and you say just what need to be said at the right time, but you can't live it. Don't be that type of Christian. Amen. Amen. So the word is not in the mind, it's in the heart. Another statement here, Brother Branham says, brother, sister, if you'll put God first in everything you do, you're bound to come out right. Put God first. Everything you do, put God first. You know, like I told you all, when we were coming up, there were certain jobs we knew we could not take because it impacted church. We couldn't be in church. If they said I had to work Friday night, I knew that was a no from the Lord. They said Sunday morning to me, I knew that was a no from the Lord. I knew that was not the job. I don't care how much money they were offering, that was not a job. I always put God first. My pastor used to teach us all the time too, when you get paid, first you pay your tithes, and then you work with the rest of the money. You don't pay all your bills and then at the end, I ain't got enough to pay my tithes, and then give God 3%. Oh, he didn't ask for 3%. He said 10%. So make sure you don't, if you're going to cheat anybody. Don't cheat God. I'm telling you, God can do some supernatural things. So I will not cheat him when it come to the money. Sometimes all of us, we all live in life, and there are times you know already ahead of time, before that paycheck come, this bill, you already know, and when you done calculate, and you ain't no way I'm gonna have enough of tithes. Ain't no way I'm not gonna have enough for tithes. That's the mindset that you gotta have. Put God first. Put God first. And watch him, because there's a promise that goes along with it. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings where you have room not enough to receive. And then he also said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So when you have promises like that, now, when you don't pay it, you can't, don't even quote it. Don't quote it. Don't open that scripture and Lord, you said. God know what he said, but he watched what you did. Well, I make it up, Lord. Let me tell you something. As soon as you fall behind, the devil gonna keep you behind. And you're gonna try to make up for it, and then it becomes a habit. And it becomes common to just put God on the side. Put God. Mm-hmm. And anytime a preacher say that, everyone, oh, you just want my money. No. I'm going to tell you what I want. I want you blessed. And look, I am a witness of how God blesses people because they pay their tithes. This is what I have learned in my journey. And I've watched God bless from one situation to the next. Rebuking the vow, I done seen him do it.
Amen.
You can't tell me. I know it worked. Amen. I done had to sign papers telling them that, because I ain't had no money to pay the house note. I had to sign them papers saying they serving me. You know how the special police officer come to your house at a certain time, make sure catch you early in the morning. And you wonder who this knocking on my door. And they catch you when you ain't you least expecting. And he knocking on the door and giving me some papers saying, now you ain't pay your mortgage. You got these papers. You might lose this house. Just sign right here. And what, you going to fight the police officer? No, you sign right there. You sign right there and take it, and then you turn around and pick up your Bible and take it and put it right down.
Right on there. Amen. Right there.
Right on Malachi 3. And Lord, you said. And since you said it, I'm going to let you take care of this. And then go on back to sleep. See, I done did that too. Because God came along and somehow rearranged my whole mortgage. And they lowered the thing to fit my salary. That's what you call rebuking the devourer for your sake.
That's right, brother.
So put God first in everything you do, you're bound to come out right. The next statement says, then it goes to show you that every scalawag can come there and take of that. You got to be prepared before you come into the presence of it. And I like those words, scalawag. You got to be living a life, is what he's really trying to tell you. The next statement, he says, the ark, that was the ark of the covenant, the go-between. He had something that would go between him and their troubles. The ark of the covenant, the word of God becomes the go-between that gets between you and your troubles. See, when they come in to take my house, the word of God got in between them and my signature. And I'm still in my house. right? So the word becomes your go-between, but you got to be living the word in order for the word to become your go-between. This last statement he makes here is, that's what the church needs today, is an experience that'll take them into under the Shekinah glory, where all the curtains will fall and hide the man from the things of the world, till you live in the presence of God under his great power, under the interlocked wings of the Holy Ghost, and in the cross you'll stand, and the cross don't become a burden anymore. You want to get to that life in God where the cross doesn't become a burden anymore. And I've told this story plenty of times, but I think it's fitting even right here, where the man that was complaining about the cross that he was carrying. Oh, he just had complaint after complaint after complaint. This is just too heavy for me to carry. And finally God told him, tell you what, I'm gonna let you lay that cross down. So that you gotta carry a cross. Says, but come on into the room and you lay this cross down, and then I'm gonna bring you out the room and come in through another door. You gotta go pick up another cross. So he went in and laid his cross down, came out, went through the other door, and said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna find me a cross. Saw one huge cross. Says, no, I ain't gonna get that thing worse than the one I had. And look at that one. My God, who in the world can carry something like this? So he saw a little itty-bitty cross in the corner. And he went running to the itty-bitty cross. He said, Lord, I found me a cross to carry. See, this is the one, Lord. I'm going to take this one. He picked it up, and the Lord told him, said, that's the same one you just laid down. See, the cross won't become a burden anymore when you get hid away in Christ. This next slide, we're dealing with the Ark of the Covenant. This is a picture of what it would have looked like back in Israel's time. In the scripture, Moses was given specific instruction of how to build this. And he put the cherubims on the top. Those are angels, the cherubims, and their wings had to touch each other. And then, you know, he was given very specific specifications. It was of a certain type of wood that he had to use. I think it's called acacia wood. And then they had to overlay the wood with gold. And I mean, even just when you look at this, and God was very particular, and God used the best material in order for this to carry, you know, the Ten Commandments. It had Aaron's rod in it. It had manna in it. But God was very particular. And you see God dealing with the finer qualities of things, if we can just put it that way. When we get to heaven, the streets that we walk will be streets of gold. And so it's okay to desire the finer qualities of life. Just don't go in debt over it. They didn't have to take out a loan to make this Ark of the Covenant. This is actually made through the people's giving, right? But God doesn't mind us having the finer things of life. You'll see that he himself had the finer things of life. But this is what it would have looked like. What we want to do tonight, and I will not have time to break all of this down, but I want to just kind of go different pieces of this, kind of explain what this Ark was all about. And again, this is what Eli lost. It was lost during his reign. It was lost in his lifetime, and when he heard that it was gone, the news alone killed him. The news alone killed this man when he realized the value that I mean, it was gone, just taken from him. A quote out of Revelation chapter 4, part 3. And Brother Branham makes some statements here. Moses was taken up into heaven. Moses taken from the earth up into the heaven and saw the altar of God. Is that right? I'm trying to prove my point here. You know what I'm trying to do, don't you? All right, he went up in the presence of God, and when he descended from the presence of God, he said, God told Moses, make everything on earth as patterned after heaven. Is that right? All right. It says, now then, when he made the Ark of the Covenant, he put two cherubims to guard the ark. See what it is? It was the temple. It was the altar, the throne guards. The two cherubims, he said, mold them out of brass and put their wings touching like this, because that's exactly what he saw in heaven. That's exactly what John saw in heaven. These four cherubims on the four sides of the Ark of the Throne in heaven, they were the guards of the Ark, cherubims, guards at the mercy seat. If you want to read that scripture, we ain't got time to go to it now, but put down Exodus 25, verse 10 through 22. It says, now they guard the mercy seat when God is in his, when God is in his Shekinah glory. Where was the Shekinah glory? At the mercy seat. It says, is that right? They guard that Shekinah glory. Listen, friends. Then it goes to show that every scalawag can't come there and take of that. See, I mean, this was a holy spot. They guarded the mercy seat. And remember, this ark represents the word. When they talk about every scalawag, that means if a person can't live a life, you can't stand behind this pulpit and preach. And it has to start at the pulpit. You can't live a life. Don't get up before nobody trying to preach. And I'm not even talking about, you can apologize. You can ask us to forgive. And we will as a church. We're Christians, we forgive everybody. But we're talking about having confidence in you to be able to stand before us and share the gospel. Right? It's a different story. I mean, we want you to come to church. We want you to fellowship with us. Please don't go out in the world. Please. But to stand behind the sacred desk and just try to share the word, no. You got to have a life first. Brother Ramsey, no scallywags and just come up in here and do that. This is precious. You're handling, first of all, you're handling precious cargo with the word. And then you're also handling precious cargo with the people that you're preaching the word to. Do you realize who these people are? They are the purchased of the blood of Jesus. These are the people that caused him to go to the cross. And he willingly went for these people. And you just going to come and just handle it any kind of way? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. And that's just not for the preacher.
That's right, brother.
Amen. And that start going right on through. You know, musicians got to have a life. Song leader got to have a life. Deacons got to have a life. Trustees got to have a life. Everybody in the church need a life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The quickest way for the anointing to leave is you get a scalawag involved.
Right.
Anointing gone. And see, God couldn't come and do nothing with protect Israel and the life that they were living. God couldn't do nothing. I mean, and even you go back into Achan.
Yeah.
This is a man that would be considered a scalawag.
Right.
Right, I mean, you know, here we're trying to win a battle, and God told us a very specific thing to do. Don't take no Babylonian garments. Don't take their money. Don't do nothing. All the money comes to me. That's what God put him first. It was their very first battle.
Right.
And God said, "Well, everything, all of it." And if you read the Bible, the second battle, God told them to take the spoils for themselves.
Yes,
God ain't trying to just cheat you.
Right.
He wants you to be blessed.
Yes,
but he also want to know if you trust him.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
So the very first battle, that they had to prove their trust.
Right.
Not God prove his love. And even in paying tithes, God first needs you to prove your trust.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll show you his love.
Yes, sir. Yes, he will, brother.
Oh, if you will just sow in your field for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
If you just sow for the first 6 years and
right.
And then that seventh year, if you would decide not to take anything out of the field, I promise you in the sixth year, I'ma bless you so much. It's gonna carry you for 3 years. The thing God needs to know is do you trust his word?
Right.
See? So scalawag. You know, you just can't be mishandling stuff. And there's so much more than living a life. If I was cheating y'all for y'all money, Y'all wouldn't want to be here. Pastor run around the church borrowing from this one, borrowing from that one, never paying nobody back. Y'all be out of here so fast. Nah, I ain't going back to that church. You got to have character. You got to have character. Amen. I mean, and that's just, you know, so there, when he's talking about scalawags, he's talking about it from every angle. You just think about it. And Eli's boys were scalawags.
Right.
They problem is they mess with all the sisters in the church. And we just found out the man was married, had a wife at home, pregnant, but he still messed with all the sisters in the church. Scalawag.
Yes, sir.
Right? Amen. You don't want nothing like that. So a life is required. He says, listen, friends, then it goes to show that every scalawag can come there and take of that. You gotta be prepared before you come into the presence of it. You gotta be prepared before you get and I like that because even I've been a part of the church where you got people. Boy, they just got saved yesterday. Yeah. And all of a sudden feel a calling and want to preach tomorrow. Not here. Not here. Not here. You want to know why? Because the Bible actually tells us, know them. That labor among you. So we're gonna have to get to know you, and we don't know you in one night. You got, so far, you got a good testimony. You got saved. That's a good testimony. Now we're gonna watch to see if you stay saved. Amen. It's very important, church. Very important. He goes on. He tells us, he says, may you be as Joshua. He looked, set him back over there on the hill, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, the go-between. He had something that would go between him and their troubles. And tonight we got the Ark, Christ Jesus, who stands between us and death. Some of these days when the last breath is leaving your body, I want to run down to the river and say, give way, Jordan, I'm going over to see my Lord. I believe the morning star will come out down through the valley of the shadow of death, light up the way, and the Holy Ghost will stretch two glossy wings across the Jordan and bear our weary souls to a better land. Amen. Now notice this. He says, then when Joshua looked and took the Ark of the Covenant, told them, said, gather yourselves out here, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and get ready, for you'll see the glory of God. Then he knew God was with him. Then he took the priests, and they put God first, the ark before the priests, before the congregation, made them stay back a certain distance until the ark went first. Now he's talking when Joshua and the children of Israel went across Jordan. And when they went across the Jordan, they had specific instructions. Instructions was, when you watch the priests pick up this ark and they walk in front of you, their instructions was, don't you get in front of them. Don't do that. Don't get in front of that ark. Don't get in front of the word. You don't lead the word. You let the word lead you.
Amen.
Right, this is what God was trying to show them. The priests are carrying the word. Because the ark represents the word. So you don't get in front of that. When we go on this journey, he said, y'all ain't been this way before. You don't even know which way you're going. So let the word go before you. And then he says, now when you get the word, get behind the word, it says, now don't get too far in the back either, where you can't even keep sight of the word. Say, you got to keep the word in sight. You want to make sure you can see them priests as they stepping with that word. Don't get too far. And nowadays, the way people get too far is that they just let the preacher do everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, because I know this is to be the truth. You better study this message yourself.
Amen.
You better know. You better know what the prophet said yourself. Study your Bible yourself. You better know what the scripture say yourself, because that way can't nobody just come in here and just tell you anything. I know preachers and everybody in the congregation, just everything that preachers say, they own it. I'm like, that ain't scriptural. I know it's coming. I respect you in your office, but that right there, that's not in the word. That statement right there, that's not, no, that ain't what the prophet said. And you got to be, oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know what Brother Branham taught us? He said, if a man lead the word, you lead a man. If you don't know the word, you can't lead nobody. But you said, wait a minute, I was listening, and I I'm not trying to correct you. I was just listening to the prophet, and the prophet said this, and the prophet said that, and I was just, and then you said this, and you said that, and I'm not sure how to just make all this come together. I'm just a little confused. I'm having mind battles. I don't know what, just help me. Help me. Just help me, please. And if they can't help you, you don't have to say no more. You already got your answer. It's not even I feel led. No, I gotta pray about it. I gotta go. I realize what I need to do now, and I tell you, make sure that you're not going and don't have no solid ground to stand on. When you step out, make sure you got somewhere you can go and just get connected and move right on in. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Otherwise, just you keep eating cherry pie. Because he taught us that too. Just spit out the seed and just say amen to what you can say amen to. Amen. But, and Brother Branham said, and he said, eat cherry pie by spitting out the seeds. He say, eat chicken, but put the bones to the side. He said, but make sure it's a bone. Might be tough to chew, but it's still chicken. All right. So he says, then Joshua looked, he took the Ark of the Covenant, told them, gather yourselves out here, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and get ready, for you'll see the glory of God. They know God was with him. Then he took the priests, and they put God first. The ark before the priests, before the congregation, made them stay back a certain distance until the ark went first. Brother, sister, if you'll put God first in everything, and you do, you're bound to come out right. Put God first. And they went packing the ark. When the priest's feet rested in the water, God rolled back the Jordan. She moved back. He stood in a pillar, and Israel crossed over on dry land, built their camp. And I just like that. I've mentioned this in the past, but Brother Ram said they went across like in the month of April. And it says the Jordan was overflowing in the month of April. And it says, you would think God, being a general of the army, would not send his people across at a time when the river is overflowing. But God being God and wanting to show how great he is, he always chooses the most difficult times to actually manifest himself. See, when we look back in scripture and most of the miracles that we see to happen, it wasn't people just chilling. No, they were going through something. Pharaoh's army is behind me, and Pharaoh is mad, right? But God gonna show up and show out. And the way God does it is said, now, Moses, I ain't gonna even tell you what to do. You just speak to the people and go forward. And then Moses, out of his mouth, said, and now this only come when you're under pressure. You don't even think like this when you're under pressure, when you're not under pressure. But because he's under pressure, he thinks that there's a pillar of fire blocking these guys, stopping them back there from coming even near us. God already doing that part. He says, the Egyptians you've seen today, you ain't going to see no more forever. Now, God didn't tell you to say that, Moses. But because you're doing what God told you to do, God going to back up what you said. How God gonna do it? Even Moses don't even know how God gonna do it. Now he says, stretch your rod and move forward. And when you stretch the rod, here the waters just part. And here come the children of Israel walking through on dry land. I mean, I can just imagine how them people must have been feeling to go from fear to jubilation. Like, my, what a mighty God we serve. God do these things when there's pressure. That's when you see him do his best work. It's when you inside the lion's den. That's when he does his best work. Not when you're coming up to it. But no, I want you to go inside. And I'm going to show you how big I am and how bad I am. I'm gonna shut the mouth of lions. They're going to have to fast for 24 hours. And the reason the way that happened, because the pillar of fire comes into... It comes right inside of where they in the den of lions. The pillar of fire shows up right inside. And the lions are afraid of fire. The pillar of fire is there keeping Daniel company. And I think Daniel said the Lord sent his angel. The pillar of fire. Well, that same pillar of fire showed up with Daniel's friends. It was only not when they went to the fire, but when they got in the fire, that's where he showed up. And he happened to be called the fourth man, but it was a pillar of fire, taking heat out the fire. Brother, I tell you, if we just let God be God, he's going to show up. He's going to show out too. He's going to do something you ain't never seen done before, but be willing to go through. Be willing to go through. When you go through, it actually gives you a better testimony. When Abraham went through, it gave him a better testimony. I mean, I was just thinking on it today. I said, you know, I was complaining about little things that I got going on. And then I thought about Abraham. I'm like, well, he had to wait 25 years. How long I been waiting? Well, I guess I ain't really got nothing I can say. And you just start eating up all your words then. Like, all right, Lord, forgive me. My father Abraham waited a lot longer than I did. Noah waited 120 years, right? So it's like waiting ain't the issue. It shouldn't be the issue. Just keep praising while you're waiting.
Amen.
All right. I know that I got a lot more here, and I can't get to it all tonight. But I told y'all we're going to enjoy this journey. Okay, yeah, I got a number of scriptures that I want to read, but I don't want to get into all that because we'll be out of time. We'll just pick up where we left off the next time we come together. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word, grateful for your truth. It challenges us, and we need the challenge. We thank you that we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour. And God, we just desire to draw closer and closer to you. So help us to put you first in all things. As we read here tonight, if we put you first, God, we're bound to come out right. So I pray, Father, that you would just let us not have the word go in one ear and out the other. But Lord, let it register in the depths of our soul, that we might become one with it. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me have the announcements. And Sunday morning, we have prayer, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then service will start at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school will happen 9:30 to 10. We got the youth and the young adult. And as I mentioned, the young adults are going through the church age book. So, and they just started the journey. So if anyone would like to join them on that, feel free to do so. Virtual streaming continues through our Facebook page, SAT Tabernacle, as well as our church website, john423.org. There's a youth outing that's happening this Saturday, May 10th. I believe the ages are 5 and up, and that's going to happen at 12 p.m. It's going to be at Altitude Trampoline Park. That's this Saturday, May 10th at 12 p.m. Please, everybody, be there and be on time. And don't forget, in a few weeks from now, Brother George Smith will be coming to preach for us. That's Sunday, May 18th. He is Brother Branham's son-in-law. And looking forward to having him join us. And our Memorial Day annual picnic will be happening Monday, May 26th, 2025. And that's going to happen at Haver Hill Park at 11 a.m. And want to just encourage the sisters, if you have not committed to bringing something, please see Sister Tina. And you all can coordinate that. Brothers, we are asking that each brother give $25 towards the meet. It will be catered. And so every brother, if you would just help out with just giving $25 towards the meet, you can send it via Zelle, but just make sure you tell us that it's for the picnic. Put that in the memo area for the picnic, and we will appropriate the funds accordingly. All right, we got a couple things happening, some upcoming services and events, I should say. Jesus Christ Tabernacle there in Columbia, South Carolina. They're having their youth and family camp, and the registration ends on tomorrow, which is Thursday, May 8th. The youth and family camp is going to be from June 5th to June 8th, and I've heard wonderful testimonies that have come from this camp. So if you are able to make it, I would certainly encourage you to do so. Brother Charles Anderson there in Columbia, South Carolina, is hosting that, his church. So keep if you desire to go, please register, because it ends tomorrow. Go to jctcamp.com to do the registration, jctcamp.com. South Florida Choir will start our rehearsals, and that's going to be May 17th, May 31st, June 14th, June 28th, July 5th, July 12th. And I believe that there has been a group chat that's been created, and they're sending around invitations for people to join the chat group. That's where you get the songs and all that, all the information. If you desire to be in it and you have not received that group chat, see my daughter, Sister Sarah. She can make sure you get it here if you desire to be a part of the choir. They are asking for a few more male voices. I think some came through today, said that they was going to sing, but if there's any others that would like to be a part of the choir, they are asking for a few more male voices there. So just all you got to do is register and show up to the rehearsals. Amen. And you can't have no scalawag life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As long as you're living right, we want you to be involved. The other thing is, we have a meeting coming up here, July 25th through July 27th. Our Restore, saith the Lord. Our meetings held at Palm Beach Gardens High School. Don't forget that. And we, again, just ask, you know, it's going to cost money, so if you want to give towards it, we certainly would appreciate it. We realize we might have some extra expenses that we did not foresee. So we're just asking everyone just try to contribute just to help us out so that the meetings will go through successfully. So keep that in mind. Our giving is through Zelle, PayPal, or Cash App for our online giving. Preferred method is Zelle because they don't take fees. But we understand everybody does not have Zelle. So we do have these other means. If you use Zelle or PayPal, it's going to be giving at john423.org. And if you use Cash App, it's $SpiritAndTruthT is our handle. If you want to mail an offering in, the address is on the bottom of the screen there that you can mail an offering into. And those that are inside the sanctuary, we also have a wooden box in the back that you could use to put your offering in when you come or when you leave. Amen. All right. Do we have any praise reports or prayer requests that want to be mentioned tonight? I got one hand here. I got two hands here. I didn't see my sister there. Can't be no scalawag. No. It's good to see you, Gina. And Brother Stephen and Sister Rachel, good to see you all too. My wife had her
God bless you. I have two prayer requests. The first one is for Sister Dixon. She's not feeling well, has dizzy, woozy when she stands up, a headache. So she was just asking prayer. And also one of my clients, her daughter, is, I told her that that we would offer prayer tonight. She was laid off from work. She worked for NASA, and you know, with all the cuts that's been going on in the government, she was a completely remote worker. So they said that if you weren't coming back to the office, that you basically you didn't have a job. And unfortunately, she lived here, so there was no way she could go to Texas. So she lost her job. So I told her that we pray for her, and her job is highly specialized. So it's kind of hard to just, she's literally like a rocket scientist. So it's kind of hard to find a job as a rocket scientist. So she just asked for prayer. So I told her that we pray. Her name is Vicky.
Sister Cobb, I saw.
God bless you. I have a prayer request. My co-worker's dad was diagnosed today with blood cancer. So just pray for him. She's kind of like his caretaker. So just pray that God will give her strength to work with him and work with all the appointments and everything that he needs to go to. And also I have a praise report. We prayed about my grades for my kids, and we got our scores back, and our kids did fantastic. I mean, exceedingly above all, if I could ask for things. The scripture for me that day was, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And I grabbed hold to that and just started in my classroom just speaking the word over our classes and doing everything, and really just praying over the children. And as they took the test, one group was like, we're finished. And I'm like, y'all not finished yet? Go back and check that. And they were like, no, we're finished. And as we began to get their scores in, they were scoring high in the fives, and that's the highest that you can get. And we had one of our students that it goes from 0 to 100 percentile, and he scored in the 98th percentile. So I just thank God. And also my class was the highest class in the grade.
Amen.
So I thank God.
Thank the Lord. Amen.
God bless you. Sister Brown had said that her the priest's mother-in-law was admitted to the hospital today, and she was just asking prayer for her.
God bless you. Number one that I want to thank God for is Traveling Mercies. We went to Ocala there and back, and then we had to go again there and back. So thank God for Traveling Mercies. And it's a small testimony that I have to say. If we can't see him in the little things, then we can't see him in the big things. So my sister was driving my dad's truck, and my dad was sleeping in the passenger side, and he had his foot on the where the AC is, and she was like sweating, like super hot. And the song that was on the car, it said, "Lord, do it for me." And my dad hit the AC button, and it was on high. And after that, he moved his foot, and she got to turn the AC back on, and everything. It was just a small testimony. And I was like, "You can't see me this small. You can't see me this small."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Any other testimonies? You got a testimony, don't you? You got a testimony, don't you? Thank the Lord. Thank God for blessing her with a car.
I had a praise report. I asked you brothers to pray for a man named Bob, a lady at my job asked if we could do a special prayer for her. So I thought I can put her in her brother's chat. And today she told me he went to the doctors and everything's all good. And we say, praise the Lord for God just touching him and healing him.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
God bless you, church.
All right.
Just a prayer request. My job will be going away next week for a few days. It's a retreat that they're doing for the whole of our department. It's my first time going on a trip with them. I just asking God for not only traveling mercies, but the right atmosphere.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. I just solicited our prayers for my dad. He stopped by the job probably last week. And it was a surprise. So he came and got me, so I told him to come back to me and I was talking. And he said lately he's been losing feeling in his left arm. And it's interfering with his work and doing anything. And I mean, he's struggling. I prayed for him on the spot at a job. And then, I think that was it. Let's ask prayer from that.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, let's take these requests to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Father, we have much to give you praise for. Many things we heard here tonight. You just blessed Sister Tina there with wonderful test scores. You gave her a scripture to stand on that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that she could ask or think, and God, you did exactly that with those children in her classroom, not just in her classroom, but within the entire third grade of school. And thank you, Lord, just for being there. I'm just reminded of a statement Brother Branham said, that if parents would get together with their kids and pray over these tests before they have to take them, how, Lord, you would just intervene. Rather than the children sitting there cheating, just somebody praying over them, and how you would just anoint their minds. And God, you did that for these little kids, and thank you for it. Father, we thank you for blessing Sister Dasta with a new vehicle. You have proven that you are a provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. And God, we just pray that you just give her your divine protection as she goes to and fro in her car. We thank you for the testimony of Brother Mark. We prayed for Bob, and you touched him. Lord, we heard the testimony of how you move. So people that never even get a chance to walk through these doors, but yet God, they come in contact with a believer, and we get the opportunity to stand in the gap for them. Lord, believing that you would hear and answer our prayers. So God, we're standing in the gap tonight for Brother Garen's father. He's losing feeling in his left arm. We pray that you restore all that the enemy is trying to take away from him. You know the root cause of the issue. And we ask that you would move, Lord, by your precious spirit upon him. Thank you that Brother Garen was swift to pray for his dad right there. And you said if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So, Lord, I pray that you hear the prayers that have already been prayed, and may they be manifested in his father's life. Sister Cobb put in a prayer request for Caprice, her mother-in-law, admitted to the hospital. We don't know the situation, but we know, God, if you get involved, that you can turn in anything around. So we ask that you move by your spirit upon that need. Sister Tina has a co-worker who has a dad that's been diagnosed with cancer in his blood. And again, we know there's nothing too hard for you. So God, we ask that you would just intervene. May he have a real blood transfusion, the one that comes from Calvary. Amen. That cleanses us and makes us completely whole and makes us clean. So, God, we stand in the gap for this, the co-worker's father, and ask that you move by your spirit upon his need. We want to remember our precious sister Dixon, who's not feeling well in her body. And God, just ask that you would strengthen her, that you would touch her. Lord, that you would just help her, Father. She just had to go through a procedure here recently, Father, but we just ask that you would just let her recover well, and that she'd be able to get back on her feet and Lord, get back to doing the things that she was doing. You have done so much for her, and we know healing does not have an age limit on it, so we'll just continue to keep asking you, Father. Every time the devil attacks, we ask for you to intervene. And Lord, Vicky, who lost her job, a very specialized, very unique position, but she's lost it. And I know she also is a believer, but sometimes we go through things like this. And again, as you told us tonight, sometimes it's when we're in the fire that we meet you. It's when we're up against a Red Sea. That's where you manifest yourself. And Lord, we ask that you would move by your spirit upon her need, that you would calm her spirit, help her to realize that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're more than able to make a way, oh God. And I just ask that you move, Lord, upon her needs, even right now. God, we are careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We trust that you watch over us as we leave this place, but not your presence. May you go with us and bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday morning is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I did want to make mention that Sister Eric and I are going to a wedding this weekend. Some of you all know Sister Tammy Jean there in Boynton Beach is getting married, and she's doing a destination wedding. So we'll be going to attend, and we won't be here Sunday. So keep us in your prayers as we go to do that. Be back on Monday evening, I believe, something like that. So just keep us in your prayers as we go there to the wedding. Praise the Lord. Brothers, will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. God bless you.